cliffcentral.com.
Hi, this is Renata Steedman, and you are listening to Belighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Belighted with Rami and Romeo on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. Hi, Romeo. How are you?
Like a sharp, you know. I am very good. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm well. I'm good. Yes. I'm good. It's a beautiful Monday. Mm. And I'm taking my earrings off because they're pinching me. I don't know why.
You see, that's the beautiful thing about on radio. I remember I had Gareth live on air. He says, oh, I'm so thirsty. So-and-so, can you please get me water?
I'm like,
that's the power of on radio. You don't have to be all formal.
Yeah, we don't have to be formal. So I need to take them off. So how was your week?
No, no, no. Before we go on my week, let's talk about your week. I see you had an awesome Saturday. You were out in the Vaal. Tell us about it.
I was in the Vaal. I was doing another launch, so, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, that was awesome.
And it was packed.
And I saw him like, what?
Yeah, it was so many guys showed up. And yeah, I was in the middle of
them
my
da,
speech.
Them da family.
And I was still talking. And then next thing, Ntate Zix Mda walked in.
Then da family
and
came.
And he was with Neo and with Tani. I mean, I've known them since 1995.
Yeah.
When I was in FUBA.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I lost my place. I was like, guys, please tell me that's not Ntate Zix Mda. Because I'm just going to fall over. And guess what? I actually did. Like, I was like, that's him.
Yeah.
And I left my...
And he says to you...
I ran.
How?
I ran. I left the stage. And I ran all the way to the back to fetch him from the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, and then there was like, they were welcoming him. Mm. They were like, so how are you? Then he took the microphone of his. It's like, you know, I was actually sitting, having lunch, and I was about to go into another meeting. Then I saw on social media that Rami's having another session. It's like, there was no, I was going to miss my daughter's launch.
And so, here's a belated moment on that as well. I think those who know you, and especially those who are very close to you, will know that you support everything and everyone that everybody does. And it is moments like this that everybody will shock and surprise you and just show up, you know, when you do something. And you see, whether you invite them or not, whether you tell us or not, we'll show up because you just don't know how much investing in other people will invest in your own future.
I know. I was so shocked. It was in Vanderbilt Park.
Of all places.
Vanderbilt Park is it's fair. It's fair type like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Vanderbilt Park for Ienacheng. I mean, you need a passport to get there.
You know?
But, hey.
You drive and forget it. You forget where you're going when you drive.
And my friend came. Shelly came. You know, Shelly was like, Shelly's like a very good friend of mine. She's like my best friend. I love her.
Yeah.
And we look at like, I love it when people say, are you guys sisters? And we just laugh.
Yeah.
But she also showed up. But people showed me love and people bought the book. They bought the album as well.
Yeah.
Because I took copies.
And a lot of people don't know actually that you have an album. And if I can put you on the spot, just tell us a little bit about the album. What kind of songs have you written? What is the name of the album? And how can people get hold of it?
Talking about marketing. The name of the album is From Fear to Love.
Yeah.
I think it is not out there a lot because I'm an independent artist. I recorded, I'm self-published or I'm self-recorded.
Mm.
I've got my own stable. And yeah, and obviously it's always a struggle trying to get indies out there. But it's been well received.
How many tracks on the album?
It's 11 tracks. I co-wrote the album with Randall Skippers.
Yeah.
And it's a live band. It's an 11-piece band on the album.
Mm.
And yeah, it's a lot of time and money and a lot of love and passion was invested in it.
I remember when we actually launched, and I really had a privilege of emceeing the official launch when we had it at the Yamaha Center.
Yes.
And I loved how you fused the album with the launch.
Book. Yeah, and it was amazing that the songs actually went together.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I mean, I couldn't do a lot of songs because it was more about the book than the album.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite good to do the book launch with the band there because I never had a CD launch.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford it. The album cost me such a lot of money. I couldn't afford to have
to
a launch.
Actualize,
I mean, even like the covers and all of that, I didn't do a photo shoot.
Mm.
Luckily enough for me, I had a beautiful picture that a friend of mine took. Fanny Dingiswayo took my picture of me one day.
Shout out, bro, Fanny.
And that's the picture I used on my album. And funny enough, it was like I had no makeup on and everything, but that's the picture I use because it is so, so beautiful. Mm. Oh yeah, and he wrote two songs on the album.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, credit to you, my brother.
Yeah.
Now here's another belated moment. I think from the interview that we have for you as our guest / guest presenter is the fact that you need to use what you have to build the life that you want. Mm-hmm. You could have sat there and be apologetic about whether you supported, whether you had enough money, whether, you know, but the fact that you used what the little you have to be where you are today. And that for me creates a very proud moment for yourself, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Welcome to Belighted. And of course, if it's your first time joining us, you have come to the right place. Here, we beat the light bulb out of you to make sure that you live your best life now. No apology, no more blaming other people for things gone wrong. At the end of the day, it comes back to you. Mm-hmm. You know, whether I failed you, whether I answered your call, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to make a decision whether you wait today or you do it in 6 months later. It comes back to you. This is Belighted.
And how was your week, Romeo, before we get into the nitty-gritty of things?
My weekend was actually quite good. Okay. Yeah, so mostly, you know, kind of like more business meetings and so forth. But the beautiful thing is the ability to force yourself to slow down when you need to. So I kind of like had in-between moments where I find time to rest. But more than anything else, so it was just a weekend of funerals and all that. So I had to go and support
our brother. Typical black person, funeral.
What are we going to do?
Well, I'm glad you had a good week. Good to see you. You're looking good. You're looking fresh.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we are here.
What's happening today, man? I'm so excited.
The month of love.
What's happening?
We got gangsters in studio. gangster. But you know what? I like how these people work, because right now we have only one of them in studio, and the other one is actually on the line because one of them had to take care of the kids, and one of them is the boss of the house, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So the one who's doing the less work is the one who made it to studio.
Okay. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
Do I drum roll?
Do the drum roll, man. In studio.
Yeah.
Today on Belighted, we've got.
Yep.
The tall one.
Yeah.
The ashy one.
The funny one.
Guys, we've got Tall as Smoke.
Tall as Smoke. All right.
Snap your fingers on up. Flavor, baby.
Yeah.
Come on with it. That is great than a shiver and bang.
Yes.
Okay.
And on the line, joining us.
Mic testing.
She's on radio. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
People can't say that you are an actress and therefore that's the only thing you can do and that's the only thing they'll love you for, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, stop taking over the interview. You're not on the wrong side of the microphone today. And there's Romeo going, agreeing.
No, I mean, but I'm all about that. You know, I need my guest to talk more than I do. That's me. So I can ask him one question and he speaks for 15 minutes. So
but
that's
he was not answering. He was now taking the interview. He was going to interview us. I know. Because now I'm going to tell him that, you know, Romeo is an author. He's a motivational speaker.
Okay.
He is all over the place. I mean, universities call him to come and speak to their students.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he gets there and then he talks to them and tells them how to do life.
Come on with it.
Yeah. And then next thing you'll be like, so Romeo, tell me this and this. No, we're not going there today. Okay.
We are interviewing.
Okay, wait. I need to check if we've got Miss Momay. Miss Momay!
Hello.
Oh, finally. There we go.
You are there. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Diva.
Give us Vuma there. Give us Vuma.
I'm giving you Vuma.
Yeah.
I know we're trying to...
Sing something there. Sing something.
Yeah, sing something. Say hella.
Good.
Don't let Mama sing, guys. She cannot sing. Believe me.
What? You can't sing?
I can't sing. The speakers will break. I'll leave it to you.
Okay, now tell me. If it happens that Mo is in trouble and the only way to get him out is for you to sing something, are you going to let him rot in jail?
I will sing my lungs off even if my voice is not sounding as great. But right now, he's okay, so I'll save it.
So you'll save it. Well, welcome to Belighted.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. He is wearing such a colorful shirt. And I know you're the stylist and the fashionista in the house. So he is under so much pressure. I know he's looking fabulous because you force him to, don't you?
Oh my goodness. He's the new age Papa G.
I told you. That's what he's been saying. And then his hat is. I'm telling you, even the hat and everything, the cuevos. But he's not wearing as many rings. I don't think Papa G will be impressed.
I like my castle ring, my pinky ring. That's my favorite ring.
He left it here in the morning.
So he only has one. So I don't know if Papa G is going to be impressed about him today. So, Mo, you guys tell us, is Mo and Mome? Like, I mean, hello.
Yeah. That's a nice. nice
it's,
rhyme.
Yeah, it rhymes you know, so well. But you, this one, you call him Tallest Mom. The other one, you have to say Mrs. Mom. You can't just say Mom.
Yeah.
It's Mrs. Mom.
It's so
you better recognize.
It's very befitting.
Yeah. You better recognize. You better recognize.
I've never blushed so hard in a show. Why do I feel so freaking nervous?
It's belated, Baba.
I don't understand. It's like, wow, baby, do you feel the intensity in the studio? Oh, gosh. It's
I can.
I promise you, baby. It's like, oh, whatever. I swear, it's like got this whole feel of intensity and yeah.
Okay, so you guys tell us. You guys have been together, I don't remember, I don't know for how many years, but then how did you guys meet? You've been together for 8 years.
For 8 years, yeah.
This is our 8th year actually together, yeah.
Okay, how did you guys meet? And I mean, I know sometimes people say opposite attracts, but you guys are crazy. So this is two crazy people and they're trying to make it work. So just break it down to us, Mrs. Mo.
We met in Melville. I was actually jogging. You know, no makeup on, all sweaty and stuff. And
so you had little makeup on while you went out jogging?
No, without. With
oh, no
makeup,
no makeup on, okay.
Some girls are very fortunate. They meet their partners barely all set and done.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're all done, dressed up, whatever, and you meet this guy, you know, but I bet my husband, you know, I was jogging.
Yeah.
And he was driving with a friend. He used to drive like one of those Mini Coopers back in the days. And can you see how tall he is? But like in the Mini Cooper.
It's okay.
Like
no one can sit behind him.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah, my mother called me Mr. Bean for a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. And he was driving behind me. And he was trying to highlight me through their window, and I was like, hey, this guy, I've got on board, you know, and I try to continue jogging. He jumped out of the car, he let his friend drive the car, he followed me. Then I realized he's wearing slippers, like daddy cargo pants. It was such a turn off. It was such a turn off. And I was like, okay, this guy, all right. It was during the BBM pin days, and he wanted my number, and I said, no, I can't give you my number, I'll give you my pin, you know?
Okay.
We exchanged for pin numbers. He asked me where I stayed. I lied, and I said I lived down the road, but I was like 2 blocks away from where I stayed.
Okay.
You know, and he walked me while his friend is driving behind, and I don't even remember what we were talking about, but the main issue was to exchange contacts, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm at his dirty slippers, and I'm like, I'm not gonna give this guy my number. Let's see, we'll just chat, you know?
Yeah.
And he took my BBM pin. We started chatting for quite some time.
We
and
courtship
like,
for like a good 9 months, baby, courtship. Almost a year.
What?
Yeah.
On BBM.
Yeah, courtship.
Yes.
Cell phone.
And we went on our date. No, it took long for us to even go
on
a date. That's another thing. Mm. It took like 6 months, 5 to 6 months to go on a date, because I was busy also with my own stuff, and he was also starting off in the industry and stuff like that, because he just quit his call center job. You know, it's like, God just gave me this project and was like, hey, you know? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. God was testing you, eh?
Yeah, let's see how strong are you. Let's see what you can, you know? And he's like, he's from Tembisa. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, he's from Tembisa. What's going on? You know, like, this Soweto girl, Pretoria girl.
This is some guy from Tembisa.
You know? And since then, we started chatting. And I think we got to know each other more through the BBM chats. Because I feel like, I don't know, we would just... before we even go to sleep every night, even if we don't see each other for a week, we'll chat, you know?
Yeah.
And he got to know more of me via BBM, you know?
We got construction going on at the house right now.
You guys are fixing the house.
We're picking it up here.
Yeah, we're renovating.
Now we know these guys are working. We know they're working.
My wife won't stop, like, you know, demolishing that house. Like, we put in a window the other day. Then she's like, hey, here's the window. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. So it's a new window. Why didn't she start the other one?
I don't know. It's somewhere in the garage now.
Miss Momi, I actually have a question borrowing from what you just, you know, narrated at the moment. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the culture of Joburg today, a lot of people are afraid to kind of like just allow people in their private spaces, go on a date or give their number. But what would you say gave you a good hunch about your husband then to say, you know what, I'm actually going to give this guy a chance, given that he was wearing slippers and, meeting the way you did. So, you know, what is that hunch that kind of like said to you, you know what, I am actually going to try this?
I mean, he was so persistent, but in a kind way, that's why I'm saying, he's from Tembisa, but he was not he was not rude in a way, he's Mo, that's how Mo is, he didn't hide the person that he was, the Angshelange smile, Angshelange, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah.
But then if he's got little eyes when he's wide awake, in the morning what happened?
Wait, if he's got what?
He's got small eyes already, like Chinese eyes. Yeah. And then in the morning he had just woken up. Were they not completely closed?
They were.
They were. And then you're like, how do you know he was even looking at you? How do you know he was even looking at you? Because I'm worried. Because, he's got like small. You could have easily been Chinese, Okay, so now, Miss Momo, you told us your version of the story. And I like what Rumi is asking her. What was the hunch? What gave you that thing that, let's give it a chance. But now, does that book, is it Kana who did the 90 Days Rule? Is it?
Steve Harvey.
Is it Steve Harvey? The 90
I think it was. It was Steve Harvey, yeah.
Think like a woman, think like a man or something.
It was there. But now, but then you did the 9 months, not 90 days.
Yeah, we did quite a long time.
So, it was like long. You could have had a child.
Yeah, we could have had a kid by that time. I think that, the one thing I loved and respected about Mom is that, she had a great sense of family. She knew how to put people together. She had so many friends, that mean something significant in their life. And that and for me at that point in time in my life, I just left Tembisa, got a call center job in the suburbs, and then just broken up out of a very, very terrible relationship. And I went to Melville because I believed it was my land of milk and honey, because I wanted to explore the arts and be around people that are in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
And when I got to meet her, I just knew that this is what I came here for. This is like, I didn't see anybody else throughout that entire time I was there other than her, So I told myself I'll be patient and I'll get to know her as a person. And when we started dating, I realized that she's doing other things. Like, she's on television. She has a reality show called Cream Cartel. And then we're walking in Rosebank. I see this big billboard of Mom. I'm like, that is you. And she played it so cool. Like, Nia, calm down. It ain't nothing, nigga. I'm just a model.
You're like, uh-huh.
And I was like, man, this woman has got such a blessed personality. The one thing I loved about her is how she communicates with her parents every day.
Yeah.
She speaks to her mom like her friend every single day, And
I actually want to borrow again from what you're saying. There's a very, very important part from what you're saying that I think can create a belated moment for someone out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how do I deal with the fact that I come from a very, very hectic relationship where I was broken or heartbroken or disappointed, but how do I then, know it is time to throw myself out, or not really throw myself out, but kind of like give my heart to someone new? And how much time do you feel is enough to really deal with your hurts before you kind of like move on to the next relationship?
There's never enough time. When I met Mom, she was celibate, and she had just gotten out of a relationship that she was not proud of being in because she discovered the guy was doing things that she doesn't agree with, like spiritually and morally. Like, drugs is like such a hectic thing, And when I moved out of my relationship simply because of not being allowed to be who I wanted to be, sometimes people want you for your paycheck at the end of the month.
They make you a project.
You are their project. They budget with you. They save on you. They make their entire life plans based on what you're earning at the end of the month. And once you take that away from them, you get to see the true character of that person
over.
Stand out.
It's over.
Yeah. So that's how I got to get out of that situation. And when I was discovering myself, doing stand-up comedy and all these things, and also being in courtship with mom at the same time, I didn't rush it. I never said that I'm looking for love and this is the girl I'm gonna love next, you know? Mm-hmm. I just kind of naturally let it happen, communicating with her, you know? I never took her out on like crazy dates and stuff like that. The first time we went out on a date was, as I said, after 6 to 7 months,
right.
You know? And I don't think in Joburg we get those kind of relationships anymore. Mm-mm. I mean, you want to talk to someone today, tomorrow you're in bed with them. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. Or you meet someone in the club tonight and tomorrow morning they're saying, good morning, baby, you know?
And then they've taken the weave off you. Like,
and they've taken the weave off you. Like, what the hell?
And the teeth and one eye.
And mom has always had the craziest hairstyles, man. You could spot her from a mile away. There's no way you could miss her. And with me, I'm this tall, lanky guy that likes wearing old school stuff, but Ducks of London, you know?
And who talks too much.
They talk too much. That was my swag, you know? And when I fell in love with Mome, I knew right there and there that this is the woman I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I'm not going anywhere. I think I'm going to pop the question. So I stuck around.
Mome, you must tell that construction guy he needs to take tea time. He's like, now he's just like, he's
okay,
jealous.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, just tell him, like, you know what, guy, grab a cup of coffee or something until I'm done on the phone. Like, but do it like the missus, like, darling. You're clobbering on the wall. It's not working for my mojo.
Stop your clobbering.
You know, stop it right now. You know. Oh, wow. What an incredible story. I know.
That's how, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. You know, love is not something that is created. Love is like an endless energy. It can only be transferred from one person to the other. You can't create a love. You can't say, I created love. Mm. Love is a continuous force and energy that is there. Mm. It's spread through touch. It's spread through eye contact. It's spread through spirituality. Mm-hmm. It just really depends on how you want to plug into that system of love. So once you are plugged into love and someone else is plugged into love, I mean, you make a great connection.
You just want to make me cry.
Hey, don't cry.
I love it. Keep it together.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm sitting. Do you know how much my parents adore you? Like my mother, my grandmother. Like, dude, you know, if I didn't make it onto television or something, I think my parents would have still thought that your character is a real character. Like, that's really how you are, you know? And I look at my life and I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, I'm so blessed because it's like all the things that I thought were so far-fetched and impossible, especially whether it be in relationship or in my current career. I mean, my wife and I own a house together. Like, I never even thought in my life I would ever buy a house.
Wow.
My wife came to me one day and said, Mo, I think you can buy a house now. I'm like, what? Are you being for real? As in bye-bye. And it's like, yeah, you can do it. No more rent. And Kumo's coming. We need to secure our future. And, you know, she helped me change from this wild, outgoing, money-hungry, going to, like, you know, just always hustling to this guy that's got now stability at home, you know? Yeah. And I think if it wasn't for her, I don't think I'd be the tallest Mo I am today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the two of you are crazy.
Yeah, we are.
Mrs. Mo, the two of you are insane. Like, your reality show, it was the most insane thing ever. It was on Vuzu, right?
Yeah, it was on Vuzu.
It was like, I mean, it would trend every day. Every episode.
Do you know what is so difficult right now about South African reality is that you have to understand that, you know, commissioning editors and stuff don't want to see real life and love anymore. They want to see drama. They want to see over-exaggerated things. They want to see glamour. They want to see diva-ness.
Ratings.
I mean, our show was not on that, but we had the highest ratings in terms of the reality shows on Vuzu.
Yeah.
And now trying to come back with the third season, it's been a little bit more difficult. Not that we wanted to come back with the third season, but then they want us to be completely different, and we can't be.
And you
that.
Can't do that.
I'm not a Ranaka. I mean, I don't have like crazy drama in my life. You know, my drama in my life is my kids, my son, you know, my wife, you know, and how I deal with everybody on a day-to-day basis. So the problem is that they think that South Africans want hectic programming. They want to see everything go wrong. Like, you know, they want to see OPWs. You know, black people always want to stand in a point where they see other black people doing terribly so that they can feel better about themselves at home. And that's not the kind of television that we want to give.
But that's what sells, because that's what they do. I mean, even with OPW, I mean, now they've kind of toned down a little bit.
I mean,
there was a time I was like,
it was too much.
But, you know, even when they do the promo, they will show you when the cake is falling, when the groomie has not arrived.
Correct.
Or when the wife's shoes has broken
That's
or
correct.
Something like
so
that.
So they sell on trauma. You know, they sell on
they sell
the demise
drama,
of the
and
person,
then only when you actually get to see the whole episode, you realize, okay,
it was a good wedding.
It was a good wedding.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when there is a drama-free wedding on OPW, then it's like,
it's
not just the rating. And even on Twitter, even on Black Twitter, they'll be like, what a boring episode.
Exactly.
Nothing happened.
Everything went
there was
real.
No drama.
Exactly.
Everything went perfectly.
So
the dresses were fine. The cake
was nice. We can't give the country that. We can't give people that. And there's no way that Mom and I will ever change who we are to be on TV. Man, I mean,
it doesn't matter how much.
Hey, baby, what do you say?
We cannot please. We don't live to please the public. I mean, it's your life, you know. You go home alone, you know. So I believe that if you live the reality of your life, then that's what you've got nothing to lose because you are living your life according to the way you want to live your life, not what the public wants.
Yeah.
So, there is so much goodness in your lives, and you are not pretending it to be there. You live it.
Yeah.
And what is the importance? And obviously you've done that a lot right now on the show with what I call a goodness check. And goodness check is our ability as couples to just sit, you know, by, you know, our bed or just gaze at the stars and talk about the good things that are happening in our relationship, number one. And number two, talk about the good things that we do to each other and for each other, you know, right in our faces.
Man.
What is the importance of that? Because I find that most of us, when we start talking, it's all about what our partner is doing wrong.
Yeah.
But the importance of acknowledging each other while we still can. What is the importance of that?
It's very important because, I mean, a relationship, I always say, like, it's two people from different avenues trying to relate to become this one ship and sail together. You know, and with that, you need support from both sides, you know, and comparing yourself to your partner will never work. Instead, when you support each other and always be able to say you did very well there, you know, like, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of how you delivered this and that, you know, and we talk about it the same way that we would talk when we disagree on certain things. It's like, yes, we disagree, but more, we need to find a solution. And he'll be like, but baby, I didn't like what you did. I think you could have done it this way. You know, it's for me to understand that, okay, I made a mistake there. I was not supposed to do that. And I acknowledge that. And being able to submit yourself and say, okay, I apologize. I acknowledge what I did, whatever. Like, there should not, you can't have pride in a relationship. There's no way that you can have pride in a relationship if you want to build, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very important to always know how the next person feels. It's like, more and I think it has now become like a culture. Like every evening before we go to bed, we'll just sit and talk without even watching TV.
Yeah.
You know, like every night, like, how was your day? What happened? What do you think? You know, was it a productive day? No, what do we need to do? Stuff like that, you know, because there's no way that we can only communicate when you are socially out or when you are with people, whatever. Not everyone makes your relationship. Your relationship is between you and the person that you are with.
You know how much I appreciate you, baby. Like, you know, this weekend has been such a tough one for me, you know. So much stuff has happened to me over the weekend. First and foremost, my social media account's getting hacked.
Yes, I was trying to get hold of you and I found some guy.
Some other star boy guy, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really broke me down so much, my sister, because, you know, like, I mean, that's our livelihood, you know. We get campaigns and stuff like that. You tweet, you get paid for it. You know, at the same time, it's my connection to the world, you know. It's my identity, I believe. And I lost my profile and it really crushed me so bad. It crushed me so much. And just when I thought that things couldn't get any worse, I then get my cell phone stolen at the same time. And then the guy answers the phone and he's taking me a run around. Now it's like, the phone is on, the phone is not on anymore. And you know what? I really thought that maybe my wife was going to be like, yeah, you see, Mo, you're so careless. You this, you that, you that. And she was with me the whole time, you know, when all of this stuff happened. And when we got back from Durban, my wife flew and I drove up with my team, and she landed in Durban before me, and she did so many things, but when I got home, she got me a new cell phone. She got me like this other digital PR lady that's helping me recover all of my stuff on social media, my emails. And I was like, you know, it made me cry because I couldn't believe that she could be so supportive of me in that way, even though I effed up. You understand what I'm saying? I was taking it so hard on myself that this is my livelihood that I've just destroyed, you know what I'm saying, or that I've just compromised, and yet you're not angry at me about it, or you're not fighting with me, you're trying to find a way to kind of, you know, move on. And when I was in the bus driving with my boys, she called me before she went on the flight, and she's like, baby, I want you to be free, don't think about this whole thing, just let go, things happen, we found a solution and we'll take on from there. And that made me feel so good, because most of the time our partners are not like that. Our partners are so quick to tell you how stupid you are, how useless you are, or how much of a big mess up you've done, and then it doesn't do anything for your self-esteem and confidence. So I just want to say thank you so much for that, baby.
We need a group hug.
Wow, that's so
sweet. Group hug moment. I love you so much, baby.
And love you, Miss Moment.
Miss Moment, you know, there is so much compliments that are coming. And the beautiful thing is the compliments are actually very genuine. And they're coming from a good space, from a good heart. Now, another question that I kind of like want to throw at both of you is around, let's say now the Twitter account has been hacked. And what is the importance of trust, especially through turmoil as a couple? Because as the wife, you know, you could be looking at the social media going crazy, and, you know, because the trust is broken, you know, for instance, and you actually accuse your partner wrongly, and, you know, you find that it actually messes up the relationship. What is the importance of building a relationship based on solid trust?
I think first and foremost is honesty, baby. What do you think?
First thing first, like Mo said, it's honesty, you know? And also, I mean, like, material things should not be a priority, you know? If you are healthy, you are, you know, like, if you are mentally, physically, spiritually okay, if you are healthy enough, you will be able to accumulate everything that you have lost, especially if it's material stuff.
I got you.
And it's something that we tend not to, like, I cannot value my Gucci bag more than I value my husband. You know, he can lose my Gucci bag. As long as I'm healthy, I will work out, buy it again.
You don't
know?
Even want a Gucci bag, man.
but I saw that ring you bought. That sapphire ring you bought. I saw it.
It matches with the star sign.
Oh, that is so sweet.
So we're forever connected, man. And, you know, one thing I love about being in a relationship, or I don't like calling what we are in a relationship. I call it a life journey, like a journey of life with your partner. A lot of people, like my dad once told me that in marriage, because he's been divorced twice, and he said to me, in marriage, it takes two complete people to be one solid unit. So he told me that never get married if you feel like you have not completed your life's task, or you've not completed the things that you want to do. Like, for example, I mean, most guys like will have like a mission or an aim in life and say, yo, I want to hook up with the mommy with the biggest booty in the world. Or I want to hook up with this mommy that is like this and that or whatever. And then you go ahead and you settle for something that was not a part of your life's mission or your relationship mission. And then you end up being detoured in your relationship. You end up being in a relationship where you're not honest anymore, where you look at someone else and you get, you feel like you're longing for them more than the person that you were with. So when you are a complete person, that means that you've done all the things that you believe you need to do when you are single, or when you're a bachelor, or when you are dating in a casual relationship. Because when you go into marriage, that's it. You are not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You're staying with this person every single day of your life, you know? Are you willing to be that partner that is living a fake life? Like, you know, you're living an after nine life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you're like gay or anything, but then like there is that term.
Yeah, honestly, it's like second young.
Yeah, like you know, when you turn the corner, you're talking to your bad mouthing your wife in front of your friends and stuff like that. It's very important that your wife plays or your partner plays an integral role in your life. Everybody needs to know that you are connected through this person. Mm-hmm. You understand? So if you can't get hold of me, the only way you're gonna get hold of me is through Mommy.
Yeah.
And the same thing, if you wanna get hold of Mommy, is through me.
Yeah.
So we're the gatekeepers to each other's hearts, and we always have to make sure we protect each other at all times, because once both gates are open and there's no one there to protect it, our children then become vulnerable, because the one thing that my mother-in-law always tell me, and that's like, for me, it's like That's my number one prize possession are my children.
Yeah.
I always have to protect my kids. That's why you'll never see me on tabloid newspapers doing crazy stuff or being irresponsible or Mommy and I being in a fight or doing things that will obviously tarnish the reputation of our kids, because parents know, for example, that my son goes to a certain school, you know, and what they do is that they wait in every single Sunday to see what is TK's dad up to this weekend, or what did he do this weekend, so they can discuss it with the kids. And when they get to school, then my son is now a victim of being bullied, and your dad is going to jail, or your dad is with another girl, or your parents are getting divorced. It's not easy, you know. So when I say that we have to be complete to be in love, it's so important. You have to complete yourself. You know, people think that maybe you got issues that are deep inside your heart that shouldn't involve your wife. Like maybe you grew up being abused, or you grew up, you know, with so many things that are scarring your heart. Sometimes it's not in your wife's place to be the bearer of all of those emotional scars. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why we have things like One Life Foundation, where you can go and get counseling to complete yourself.
Yeah.
Find your completion. You know what I'm saying? Don't now take these things and make them to be big issues in your relationship, because your partner doesn't belong in that space. She wasn't from there. She's trying to make your life better. So you can't bring your past and make it a something that's going to impact your present.
Like a burden.
Yeah, or a burden on your partner. So it's always good to always be in touch and in connect with yourself. Know who you are as a person all the time, so you can be a better person for your next, for your partner or for whoever. Yeah.
I can truly attest to that, because I was actually saying, Mrs. Mama, I was saying to Romeo earlier that I sent him a message like, okay, with you guys, I mean, I tried, we looked everywhere. We couldn't find anything, because with Belighted, we don't do research on tabloid stories. Like, we don't trust any publication.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't.
Yeah.
We refuse. If it is not like,
If it's not credible.
Yeah.
If it's not affidavit, if it's not an affidavit, we are not taking it.
That's true.
And we couldn't find anything. There was absolutely nothing. I'm like, we're going to go and call. We don't know these people, because there's nothing negative to read about. Because I know that people who don't have any negative vibes, they don't make the news.
Yeah, we don't. Do you know what the crazy thing is? This being a boot, you still remember that girl Lebu from Timbisa?
Yes, the one who said
that you should have your child.
That you fathered her child.
Yeah.
What a waste of my 3,000 rand! I wish I could claim it back.
Because you paid for the DNA test, right?
I will pay for it myself. She was so adamant about it that she'll pay for it herself. And we went.
And then it turns out
the
baby is not his.
Ouch! Oh man.
Yeah.
How about Tunle?
And we lost out on a contract worth 2.5 million rand with Kellogg.
That
same year, because of that article, we lost that contract. For it was a contract that was based for my entire family, for myself, Kumo, my wife. My colleagues were on the ad as well, but Tumi Murake, Dandala, and his kids.
I remember these. Yeah. They did them.
Remember those ads? Our family was also casted with that as well. But the agency was like, no, we can't have this.
And
whatever.
So this thing is resolved.
It's resolved. Whatever. We went for DNA tests. Even after we got the DNA test and said we are not the parents of this child, the ad agency, white people immediately remove themselves from you, you know, whether it's true or not, for the fact that it's out there, you know, it can destroy your reputation. But if people know you for who you are, they won't buy into such things.
I like what you said. Did you hear what he said, Romy? He's like, even when we went back to the agency and said, we are not the parents. him and Momewe, not the parents, to that
child. The damage was permanent.
It was, and it was collective, like you and Momewe, not
the parents of the child.
Yeah,
you're
not the parents of the child.
So that's the thing that really breaks us, that breaks us down. And those kind of situations help us to become stronger in love and stronger in a relationship. Another thing that my wife taught me how to do is to pray. And I don't pray all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I always kind of like think that I can solve my own problems. You know, somewhere deep down in my heart, I think that, let me try and solve this thing myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a staring. But my wife always brings me down to my knees and say, yo, let's pray about this thing.
Mrs. Mome?
Yeah. And oh, hello.
Yes.
Sorry, baby, I'm talking too much.
Yeah, he's talking too much. Mrs. Mome, just... okay, he talked about your mom. He's like, my mother-in-law says this and this, and then he spoke a bit about his dad. But now, tell us, what is your relationship with your parents and his parents?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm more closer to, like, I speak more to Mo's dad. He's separated from his mom, but we communicate a lot. You know, he's like a father figure because my dad passed away when I was still very young.
Okay.
And my it's like he's so amazing, man. He's been in our lives since we've been together, and I've learned so much from him compared to how I grew up in terms of family wise, you know, like my family be like tight, close and all that. And on most family it's like they not as, like, they don't communicate.
We're a dysfunctional family.
Like,
it is. It's okay, baby. Don't be shy to say it. I come from a very, very dysfunctional family.
Yeah, but they don't really communicate that much. So, like, me and my father-in-law, we've developed that, you know. And I like keeping communication between him and Mo as well, because Mo gets so busy, he'll lose his phone, whatever, but he's with me every day, you know, and I feel the responsibility to also, like, keep the communication between us.
Miss Momet, like, on that, I kind of, like, want you to expand more on the importance of, you know, let's create a belated moment for especially the importance of turning, you know, you have in-laws, and sometimes, you know, the relationship can be so broken down that they become outlaws.
Yeah.
So what is the importance, you know, to your point, and the glue that you keep together to make sure that the family then fall apart? I mean, obviously, that would also mean that, you know, you're doing this for the kids as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone might be listening to the show right now and going through a similar situation. If you had an opportunity to speak to them as a couple, what would you say?
I mean, for me, at first, it's that one thing that I learned in my marriage is that when you get involved or you're part of this new family that's now yours, the main thing is to keep, like, just keep a fair relationship firstly, and don't really, because you can never interfere with family matters and stuff that was not there before you came in. So it's like you join the family, you create peace, happiness, things that that give family a meaning, you know. Like, don't be that person that comes when something is broken and then when you just want to tear it apart, you know. It's not easy, and it's not, you're not coming in the family to run your husband's family, you know. But you are saying, I think this could be a better way. Like, I know the Bible says you kind of don't see your friends every day, they will hate you. That also happens with family, you know. There's family members, your in-laws, that you can't even call or see them every day, you know. But you need to find that corner where you are like, we don't live in the same house, but we are together, we are a family. We need to understand that we are a family. The aim is not to bring each other down, but to build what we have. As now the family is growing, Mo has extended the family with his own family, you know. So we put aside what our issues are. Every family, it can be a black, white family or whatever, every family has issues, you know. And as an outsider, when you come in, the only thing that you can do, one of the most important things I always say is that when you are kind, that's the easiest way. Like, just be kind, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way you can mend everything in family issues and stuff like that. And I believe in prayer, you know, and it's like without you cannot just believe in doing things for yourself when you are involved with the family. So yeah. It's like being kind, having a big heart.
Yeah.
It you are able to give the love to everyone. Like yeah. God love all his children. Mm. So you are able to give that even to those who have that anger and negativity in the same family, you know? Mm-hmm. The only thing that you can do is be kind to them, love them. What they decide to do is theirs, but yeah. You don't change the situation. You don't change how other families have been running things. The way other families have been running their lives.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think we also like to apologize to our listeners for the break in transmission. We are joined in the studio by Tolas Mo and his well-spoken wife, Miss Momi. And she's actually somewhere else, so we have her on the line. So if you hear the break in transmission, our technician, Ramishwen, is working on it. And you can see we're getting it right.
She's actually quite good. She's like, let this thing cut one more time.
Yeah, if it cuts one more time. This whole mixing desk.
The one thing that makes us unique and different from everybody else, we know how to have fun with each other.
Yeah.
Mm. We know how to have fun. Mm. And it's like, when Mom and I go out, we the life of the party. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, I'm not a jealous lover. You understand? So I'm like, when I'm in the club, my wife can be with so many different people. She can mm-hmm. party with her friends, that for example, with MK, with Scoop, all the guys.
I remember I partied with you guys.
Yeah, we're extremely lit. We've had couples or other people coming to ask to be a part of our lives in a different weird way, like in clubs. Like, you know, they want to be involved with us sexually.
And you're like, no.
And we're like, no, we don't need threesomes or foursomes or whatever. We fine. Menage a trois. Yeah. Stuff like that. We keep it within, because we exude that all the time, you know. Mm. I find my wife to be so sexy, and I always tell her and inform her of that, and she feels sexy every day. Yeah. So that's the thing that keeps me coming back home every night, every day. When I come back home, I know that I got my beautiful, sexy ex-model wife waiting for me. You know what
Your
I'm saying?
Your wife is sexy.
Thank you so much.
I have seen her. I was like,
she lost all the baby weight. Now she's going back.
I was like, Faraga. Yeah, God bless the booty. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So we always keep it lit. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, guys? Now we're having a conversation with you, and I mean, people are listening. I'm thinking, are these the same two loud, crazy, colorful people? Because what you say, what you exude sometimes, I mean, it's a whole lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what works. Another element that you said is like, if when we see you, we see Mome. And when we see Mome, we see you.
Yeah.
And it is true. It's difficult to separate the two of you.
We almost look alike now.
I mean, you do. Yeah. Even in the prom, I said, you make Bonnie and Clyde look like first graders, you know, because you are so, so tight.
Yeah, we are.
And people, when we're looking at it, it's like, it cannot be real.
It's fake, yeah.
It is fake.
Yeah.
Which is why then I think in terms of the reality show that you said,
we had to bring
us
out.
More. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to give you more. Yeah.
Give us more drama. And you actually say there's no more drama to give.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly this is what we are.
I mean, like, we got so much respect from a lot of our couple friends. I mean, a lot of celebrity couples look up to me and Mome. Mm. A lot of them call us. To help them in their relationships, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and we're always willing to give a helping hand. I mean, and we don't even consider them to be celebrity couples or whatever or that kind of stuff.
They're
human beings. They are friends, man. Mm. You know, I mean, we're very close with Tapela Mokoena, with Lerato and WHP. We're very close with so many celebrity couples, man. I mean, Tembisa Mdoda and Natandra, that whole situation that they had.
We were with them. Hey,
we were with them throughout that whole time, and it's like we build this big support structure that, you know, if me and Mome were to fail, it's like, I don't know what will happen to all the other relationships that were formed or that were kept together because of how we keep our love going, you know?
Yeah.
So we have such a big responsibility, my wife and I, to kind of maintain who we are and our status in our relationship. I don't want ever for someone to say that, you know, I'm caught with a girl or whatever, or coming out of a hotel with whatever girl. I travel a lot. I'm always around the country. Most of the time I don't travel with my wife, but when I'm not with my wife, it's when the media will see me the most vulnerable, and that's when they'll try and attack me the most. That's when I have to keep it, you know, on lockdown as much as I can. I was even talking to Tato about it the other day, and Fresh always tells me like how much trouble he gets into with being out of town, you know what I'm saying? And I tell them that, you know, at the end of the day, when people see you, they have to see your wife. Once the girls get that story right, then I think that your life will become a little bit more easier. But at the same time, women want what other women have.
Of course.
You understand what I'm saying?
Why would anyone want an apple that's just sitting there by
itself?
Know,
and most men want what
other men have.
Exactly. True. So we've had people taking chances on both sides of the fence. And the cool thing is that we always open up about it. I'm like, yo, baby, look at this DM. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's what it is. That's what it do. Or that girl over there, baby, you see what she's doing.
Yep.
Or if someone touches me inappropriately, I tell my wife.
Agents.
I tell her, I'm like, yo, baby, this girl that touched my ass like that. Girl. What do you say about like that? You know?
Okay, Mrs. Yeah. Lulu, we've got 30 seconds left, guys. Tell us what's next. What are you up to?
Mm.
And yeah.
Okay. I'm still working on my clothing. I'm launching my own store, and I will forever be in the styling production. That how much I love clothes.
And my best manager in the world.
Yes, of course. And then I know that you're next door. And you're next door.
Yes. So basically, that's baby. Please also tell them that you got your online store and your website is
she
up as well.
She just did.
Oh, yeah, great.
We
great.
Were listening. Okay, well, with a few seconds left, Mr. Maromza, do you have something to say to Mr. Mo and Mrs. Mome?
All I can say is that, you know, as you say, the beauty of your relationship and the people that you're caring should keep you going for a very, very long time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we wish you all the best. And thank you so much for coming to Belighted.
Thank you for having us. We've got a very big exclusive playing on MTV Base tomorrow. It's called Loved Up with Mome and Tolas Mo.
Nice.
So please just check it out. It's for Valentine's Day. It'll be playing throughout the whole day. Yeah, so it's going to be great. Get to know about us a little bit more. Get to see who we are about. Oh, yes, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. My daughter's also on Instagram. She's now become her own celebrity.
Yeah. Nice. But that's so good, man. We thank you so much for coming. And you guys keep being the light and keep being the responsible people that you are and being accountable.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Mome, thank you.
Us from Belighted, from Rami and Romeo. That's it. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. CliffCentral.com.